Go Loud. Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym nearby to help you crush your fitness goals. Visit flyfit.ie.
What you waiting for?
Just before we get going on tonight's episode, something we need to mention going back to last week's episode of Oisin McConville. Oisin was into us because he was doing some work with a theatre company called Hewitt Newer Theatre and a play they're working on about the dangers of gambling. It's called The Tree Thirty at Cheltenham and it tells the story of a life ruled by a gambling addiction. The show opens on the 16th of September in the Civic Theatre, Talla, before going on its national tour of all gambling addiction treatment centres in Ireland throughout October. We're excited to see it and we think it's a great way of helping getting the message out there. So if you get the chance, definitely check it out. Right, let's go on with it. Episode 190 of Talking Bollocks brought to you by Go Loud.
And as you already know, this podcast is sponsored by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym near you.
Starting at just £35 a month, you'll get access to state-of-the-art equipment, unlimited classes and facilities that make every workout first class.
With expert trainers and a great community, you'll be able to smash your fitness goals.
Join the FlyFit family today and start your journey to a fitter, healthier you. Visit flyfit.ie to find your nearest location and sign up now. Gear up. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Will R. White
and Eric Lawler.
Thanks for having us in. I've been waiting ages to get on this podcast.
Yeah. I was very sure bringing you on this podcast, Will
R. I know.
Like, you deserve
and,
a break.
And I know his dad and all. I was saying to his dad, don't we want to go on the podcast?
No way. What about that fella Chase on the boy from Poland? What about him? Tell him that story.
Yeah, he even said to me, you should be going on that podcast. You're very funny.
He's warming up and all that. I guess you want a podcast.
Yeah, you like talking bollocks? I like talking bollocks too.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you were waiting since 6 o'clock to go on this podcast.
No, well, come here. There's been a few technical difficulties, haven't there?
There has. They're getting, no, realistically, the studio's getting done up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't look like a kipper. What is it?
We had sound difficulties, but look, we're all friends here. We all know that sometimes in the world of show business, everything doesn't go the way it's meant to go. I mean, look, I should be playing the Tree Arena.
100%.
10 nights in a row.
Yeah.
It's not happening, but I'm okay with that. It will happen. I'm manifesting it. I'll put it out to the universe. There. Later on the phone.
Right, any sense we can talk, boys?
I tell you what, we were just talking about a great character who we've had in your podcast before.
His name?
Roddy Collins.
What a gem. Because like, we got nominated for an award and so Will R says, right, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to strike while the iron's hot. Rang up Louis Copeland. Louis's on holidays to get stressed for the awards.
And then Will R has a brainwave to know who I ring. Roddy. Because Roddy's always talking about Louis.
I'm so down out with lads. I'm worried about it.
So he says, right, nice one. And Louis in Portugal. And then he rings back.
That's all sorted now. Go with the pennies and pick which is one.
Yeah.
I don't get just a Louis Copeland sticker.
But Roddy is a fucking, like, he's a character, as you know, he's an absolute character. But I was just telling Will on the way here, like, I was on holidays in Salou there a while ago, and I was all, just me two boys, we just went on a little 5-day trip. It was like September.
That's how we rolled.
Salou. You know? So I'm in Salou, and then the phone rings, it's Roddy ringing me, I'm on the beach, you know, and going, what's the story, Roddy?
Did I hear a farting ring on the phone?
I says, yeah, I'm away.
Where are you?
Salou. Fuck off.
I says, now you fuck off.
Fuck off.
I says, why?
I'm only up the road. I can't believe a candlelight.
I says, no way.
Why don't we go for dinner tonight?
I says, I can't. Roddy says, it's the last night. I can't say to the two boys, we're going out for dinner with Roddy Collins. Like, you know, and the two boys going, who the fuck is Roddy Collins? So I says, Roddy, I can't.
Oh, no, I'll catch you when I get back.
So, and then he rings me about a week later. Right, I'm after going home the next day. He rings me about a week later.
Eric!
What's the story, Roddy?
Did I just see you on a race? I go, through the lights in Salou.
What's this? I wish you did,
Roddy. No, Roddy, it was a PMX.
He says, no, Roddy, that wasn't me. But then, about another 2 weeks later,
Eric, you're like the bollocks now. We fucking did. See, you'll have to go to today, don't you?
He says, no, I swear, I'm out of them.
Oh, and he can hear him talking to Caroline.
Caroline, I'll take away my new flag. I told you them boiled eggs weren't right in that restaurant this morning.
Eric, you have another story with Roddy. You just went and done a gig together, didn't you?
We did this. We were doing this video, a football video for the TV channel or something like that. And we had to pick a combined 11. I think it was Chelsea and Man City or whatever, you know. And it's supposed to be done, you know, for sound bites for social media, it has to be done in 3 minutes, a little 3 minute fancy clip. It took us about 45 minutes, right? So we could
say. You're getting paid for the minute.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what he thought, you know. And as we know, Roddy's old school, like he's like, you know, but like when you're doing it with these companies, they're corporations, like, you know, so it has to go through the system.
Dublin corporations.
Roddy's like, you know, expecting a fucking brown envelope after we've done it, like, you know, and he says, no, Roddy, look, the way it is it's usually 30 days through the system. Half a foot hard, I sound, yeah. And then about a week later, he rings me. What's the story with that? I goes, well, that's only 7 days now, in fairness. Like, you know what I mean? It's not 30. Ah, me bollocks, Eric. I says, yeah, I know. Come here, I'm frustrated as you. I'm waiting to get paid as well. And another week. Eric! Yeah. Are they taking the fucking piss? I says, Roddy, they said 30 days. I know, but that's a lot of bollocks. 3 days passed, right? I see his number coming up and going, oh, Jesus. And I'm after being on to accounts and all going, Roddy wants his money. He's old school, you know what I mean? They're going, yeah, I know, but we have to wait to go through the system. He rings me up then. He goes, Eric, what's the address of that place? I'm coming up to the now. Tell him I'm coming up now. It's on a razor. So we got a account saying, look, I'm telling you now as a public service announcement. Roddy comes on his way up. They all got onto accounts and they just rang me back up and said, tell him it'll be in his account tomorrow morning. He's in his account tomorrow morning. So Roddy got paid the next day. He fucked the system. Good man. What a hero. What a hero.
What a man.
Because I seen him doing a podcast at the George Bernard Shaw down in Finsbury before the Bowes Pats Cup final, you know. And he's on the stage. He's talking about stories from his book and all that. And he readily admits that some of them are spoofs. So when he's saying a sentence that is a spoof, he used to finish every sentence live on the stage going, Pinocchio special.
What a man.
A hero. I love Roddy. Love Roddy.
Right. Calvin, have you any singers?
I haven't a zinger now. Now, in fairness, Teddy, the last few weeks, I've been coming in with them and you haven't been.
No, that's a valid point. Willa, you're telling us to get rid of zingers the last fucking 3 years.
I'm not telling you. No, I never said to get rid of zingers. I said just kind of change it to a would you or wouldn't you like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which I think is a lot more varied. I think you've rinsed all the zingers that can be bleeding rinsed. Because I'm sure there's people all over Dublin going, what can you bleeding? You know, well, look, and I can't think of any other singers, yeah. And I'm sure a lot of other people can't. Well, I mean, would you rather or would you rather not? Like, do you know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah, if you got a would you rather not?
Well, off the top of my head, would you rather have a shower or a bath for the rest of your life? There you go. There's where my brain's functioning at the moment.
That's a good shout with that. That's I'd be torn on that now. I have a shower and it's been in the gaff now for the last few years and I kind of rage and don't have a bath anymore. Like, just for that one night where I can treat myself.
Lads, no. Sorry, quick one. Siobhan just sent me a good zinger, boys. Right, are you ready?
Go on, hit it.
Would you rather Ireland win the World Cup or get Snoop Dogg on your podcast?
I'm going to be honest with you. I get Snoop Dogg on the podcast.
Me bollocks.
Ireland are never going to fucking win.
No, you should have to give me the option. Ireland will win the World Cup.
They won't. They'd fuck her up. We've got the worst soccer team in the world. On.
It's not an option. Look, she said the offer is
still
Ireland win the World Cup. So it's provided for you that they win the World Cup.
It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. Even if there's something that happened, they'd all get sick 20 minutes into the game or something like that.
All right, then. Well, then, Snoop Dogg wouldn't come in. He'd die in a car crash on the way in.
Sound.
There you go. See? That's how that works.
So you'd rather Ireland win the World Cup?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'd be great for the country.
Your question,
you know what happened before?
To be quite honest, I'm not big on Snoop Dogg, to be honest with you. Look at Mick, well.
He's all over the Olympics, wasn't he?
Listen, yeah. Come here. Snoop Dogg is grand. I could think of better guests than Snoop Dogg.
And he's big though, Willa.
No, I know he's big. He's the big dog, like, but I mean...
He's big about bigger. 40 years
I could think of a better guest than bleeding Snoop Dogg.
Eminem?
No, Snoop Dogg would be better than Eminem.
Would you think so?
Yeah. Snoop Dogg transcends everything. Look at Snoop Dogg, how relevant he is. He's been in the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's narrating on...
kids programs and all.
Kids programs, nature programs. He has his own kids, American football team, music, films. All the stuff he's doing, he transcends everything. He's huge. Snoop Dogg would be fucking class. I'd probably pick Snoop Dogg over him in the World Cup as well.
Now, Look at these two.
You know what I mean?
Nah, Ireland World Cup all day long.
I'm old enough to remember when I
got one guest on the podcast for 2 hours.
What, Snoop Dogg?
I wouldn't give a f. There's not a human being on earth. There's not even 10. You couldn't give me 10 guests in a row that I want that I can pick from the whole world over Ireland in the World Cup.
Ireland are playing England the weekend and I couldn't be bothered by it, boys.
Well, it's lads, come in and tell you something, right? And I'm not, look at, come here. I'm telling, I'm shooting from the hip and I'm saying it as it is, right? I've got better things to do with 90 minutes of my life, right? Whether it's on Bleeding Sheen or Timu for them 90 minutes than watch Bleeding Ireland playing football at the minute. Let's call a spade, right? I'm throwing it out there. There was a time where there was a bit of sparkle. Yeah. We had got a bit of hope. But you know what? It is a fucking...
Since Martin O'Neill left, I haven't had any connection with that Ireland team.
Eric, me and you are strongly disagreeing.
Yeah, sorry, through thick and thin, like, you know, yeah. Obviously they have been a bad watch. They've been sore on the eyes over the last few years.
Why don't you do a podcast with him if you're so fucking...
About football.
It doesn't matter how bad the team is, boys. I'll watch every game.
Well, who would you pick?
We have a new manager. It's his first game.
What's his name?
Raimund Haraldsson from Iceland. He used to work in Iceland in oil for.
Yeah. Eli Hansen.
Now, Raimund Haraldsson.
Eli Hansen's the manager, yeah.
He has history. He has beaten England before with Iceland. So I think that's what's going to happen. Just a load of Icelandic players putting on green
jerseys. Well, it's you talking. Frozen talking.
Now, I'm with Terden, so I'd be like, look, I'm old enough to remember 1990, Italian 90, right? And we got to the quarterfinals, Calvin. The quarterfinals. And the whole country went fucking mental. It was like the best time I can ever remember, the country of Ireland. You see all them old videos of walking sound around about and everyone out singing and dancing and all that. People who weren't into football were suddenly into football. I know, yeah, but that was just to get the fucking drug dealers out of here.
We got a back week on the labour. Willa, you were at Coldplay on Monday. How would you find it?
Well, I come down the road. Come here. You want to see the video of me and my missus? So we jumped in one of them Bleeding rickshaws and your mum was playing the same repeat song of Coldplay all
Rickshaw?
The time. No.
Ric Flair.
All right.
And his brother that can have a knock off anyone. Parshaw. So we jumped on the back and we were in Sansab. Big shout out to Sansap.
Yo,
sponsor us.
First time I was ever in there, and Zoe was sound.
No, Zoe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we were in there, had a bit of food, me and the missus, and then we jumped in the rickshaw and headed down to, I still call it Quinn's, even though it's not there anymore. And we jumped out there. I've never seen Coldplay before. I've loved Coldplay since the first single, Yellow, when I was
incarcerated.
The big bed and breakfast on the North Circular Road. Right, the song was released on the 26th of June 2000. And I remember the video. Yeah, I know, yeah. I still remember that few quid you owe me as well. 1986. Now, come here. And I remember the video of him walking on the beach in the rain and then running in slow motion. What a brilliant song. What a great first album, Parachute.
Oh, listen, I went to see them in the Olympia. I'm one of them cunts now. You used to like them when before they were big, you know what I mean? When they were just this cool new indie band. I went to see them in the Olympia with Gemma and Pat O'Donnell. And I had a stomach bug. So I was in the Olympia going, yeah! And I'm...
And that was all yellow.
That drink was all yellow. I was in a bit of trouble.
No, I went to see them on Monday night. I was telling everyone I was going on Sunday. I thought the tickets were for Sunday. And then when I got into my Ticketmaster account, I was like, well, it's Monday. It didn't really make a difference whether it was Sunday or Monday I went, because still on Sunday I was going into work on Monday, and still on Monday I was going into work on Tuesday. So, do you know what I mean? So,
good logic there,
Ben. I really, really enjoyed the gig. I liked the way he had a bit of local talent as well up on stage with him, a couple of girls who were brilliant. One of them, some Cabra, I believe. Mm. What, do any of you know her name?
Yeah.
Abigail Lavalle was one of them, I think. Yeah,
yeah. She was brilliant. She got up and sung Pray with him as well.
Yeah.
She came in and sung that with him as well. What an amazing...
And I've seen some of the clips that you look for.
Amazing voice and amazing singer. And the other girl, I didn't really get her name as well.
I haven't a clue who that was.
Yeah, well, whoever she was, she was also brilliant as well. And he brought a young one up on stage. She was 14. And he done his homework on what was going on. And he was, I just thought, and look, I'd no expectations because I'd never seen them before. So it was a brilliant concert.
Yeah, you know, enjoyed it.
But I know people that have seen them before. I'm not looking at anyone in particular who said that the last time they were here were brilliant. And I'm not denying that either, but I'm saying I really enjoyed the show.
It's okay to be brilliant twice.
Yeah. True. Obviously I seen them in the last time they played, and that was the best concert I was ever at. So I got a chance at getting two sets of tickets. So I got the Thursday and the Sunday. I said, fuck that. Like, they are half as good as what they were the last time. I'm going to go twice. And myself, my missus, and two of my mates went on Thursday. They bunked in. And on the way out, they were like, this is not great. No, no. And I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say it. You know what I mean? And they're like, you weren't.
What was missing?
He was starting songs and not finishing them.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and just letting the crowd sing, and then I'll move on to the next one. And he wouldn't shut. He done more talking than we are on this podcast. Right. He wouldn't shut the fuck up. And then he was like, I have to go to curfew and all. And I was like, mate, you barely fucking sang a song. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right.
So they sped through the whole thing at the end then. And then on the way out, I ended up getting rid of the tickets for Sunday. And I still went to Bunk Den on the Sunday then. And the same thing. And I went to a different mate on the Sunday, and when they finished, he was like, is this it? Does he not come back out? I was like, no.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? It was just...
Yeah. And was there no support acts?
Yeah, there was support acts, but I mean, when Coldplay finished, it's like, the last time they up with so much more.
Yeah.
And there was one song they sang, you see, he had a helmet on.
Yeah.
And they were all dancing.
The alien.
And the song is playing. So I was like, he's obviously not singing that song, because he has a helmet on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he's not even bleeding, singing live there. And I was just like, ah... Yeah.
I met Daft Punk.
Did you?
Yeah, I swear to God.
When? So how'd you know it was that?
Last Tuesday. No, I was
we were wearing the helmet.
Sorry for running off the call, Blake.
No, but
we're just indicated into another conversation, right? So I was down in Oxygen with the Laughter Lounge. We're on the Laughter. Yeah, there, right. So me and my mate Dara O'Malley, who's a really good mate of mine, has a fruit and veg place in the fruit markets, right?
Big shout out to
Dara O'Malley's fruit and veg place, right? So we were down at Oxygen and Daft Punk were on that year.
That's bananas.
So we had access all areas, right? So we went in behind the main stage, right? And what's the standing in next to all these two fellas walk up and another two fellas with them. So we, all right, lads, what's the story? Do you know what I mean? The two of them are French, right? So Darius says to me, that's fucking, I think they're the two lads out of Daft Punk. I went, don't be daft. And so I says to your man, I says, I says, are you the two lads out of Daft Punk? And your man goes, yeah, we actually are. We're going on stage now in about 20 minutes. I went, no fucking way. He went, yeah, yeah. So Daddy says to him, can we get a photograph with you? He says, yeah, we'll get in the photograph, but we're not looking at the camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they turned their heads to the back of the camera, and me and Daddy looked like two idiots standing there. But it was the two lads from Daft Punk, yeah.
Their whole gimmick is they go on stage with helmets on.
Yeah.
You don't know the whole, you know what I mean?
My next door neighbor's in a Daft Punk tribute band. Davo.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier on.
Davo Punk.
Yeah. Just post offices though.
Yeah. Davo Punk.
Where do you rob post offices? Around the world. Around the world.
And come here. Fuck Coldplay. Did you get Oasis tickets, Willa?
No, I didn't. To be honest with you, I couldn't really give a flying fanny about Oasis, to be honest. Come here. I'm not a big Oasis fan.
But you weren't a big Coldplay fan either.
No, I am a big... Oh, yeah, well, I am now, yeah. I'm converted now. But I'm saying, look, come here. Oasis, I'll be honest, we got in the queue.
We did. Well, I
was in the queue waiting to get in the queue.
Yeah.
I had white socks on. They were saying, go back to the end of the queue.
We were in Listowel in a B&B.
We were down the Listowel.
And we set our lounge for 7:30. Oh, we were like, what, two giddy kids. Here we go. 8:00. And I got into the queue and it says, you're in the waiting room.
I'm barred from everywhere. I couldn't even get the
queue. Like, I was trying to join Ticketmaster and the Swirly thing was going.
Yeah.
I couldn't even get into Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Fucking load of bollocks, wasn't it? And then I was in the queue for about 2 or 3 hours and then it just threw me out.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even say, sorry, hard luck, you prick. It just went, you're out, you're gone.
I got into the queue and it was like 377,000 people ahead of me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after 20 minutes, it was like 376,000.
Oh,
I said, how's only 1,000 people moved in 20 minutes?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I first joined there, I was in 500,000 people, boys.
And would you be gone on them tenants?
What?
On Oasis?
Yeah,
like,
into Oasis, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, mad into Oasis.
That's a big deal, Willa.
It's a nostalgia.
It is, of course it's a big deal, but I'll be there.
Yeah.
But I mean, there'd be people at that who aren't mad into Oasis either, but they know that it's a spectacle.
Yeah.
Eventually.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? That's what they call them.
But this is a point in time, though, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm reeling in the years, it's going to look back and be like, Oasis got back together.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They haven't been, when's the last time together? 2009.
Yeah. Was
so, that's what happened to me, mate, when he got his ears pinned back. He was reeling in the ears.
Can't help himself. Yeah. Well, as Will I said, we'll be there. We're recruiting people now.
Yeah, we are.
But it's like they're getting a bit of flack because the ticket price went up.
Yeah.
You stayed in the queue for, like, some of the tickets on the pre 380 euros or something like that.
No, 415.
So dynamic
pricing. I got tickets for the Sunday. But then I went back on to just a chance to see could I get more tickets. €415 they were. Shit.
Oh, God.
Dynamic pricing.
Do you want to be coming out to your gaff doing a roast dinner for you? Right? Valeting your car. Right? Going down doing a big shop for the week. Right? Going down and playing snooker with them and letting you beat them for £415 and then getting up for the last 4 songs to sing them with them.
Yeah.
If you're paying €415.
And a bottle of...
Oh,
a bottle of soup as well.
Yeah, because you get a roll, right? Yeah. Oh, what do you get with that soup? You get a favorite Oasis song.
Jesus. Tough question.
Do you know what? The older I get, do you know what song I really like? I like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, what do you mean?
Yeah. No, I do. Do you know when you actually listen? Do you know when you get older? Because obviously, one of my earliest memories, yeah, is the Don't Look Back in Anger video in Lord's house, and my dad showing it to me. Do you know what I mean? And they're driving away in the car and he's singing out the back of the window. I remember that vividly. Yeah, and obviously that sticks with you when you grow up, and then Champagne Supernova and all this, and it's great. But then when you listen to the Yola, like, I remember in 09 when they came out with the album, was it Dig Out Your Soul? Was the album Dig Out Your Soul and the song The Shock of Lightning, and all my friends been like, the fuck are you listening to? Like, you know what I mean? And I was a teenager, I was like, it's a fucking Oasis, lads. It's not like Oasis. It's like, you're a bleeding weirdo.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Yeah.
But then when you're older,
drinking in pubs and cabaret.
Yeah.
Well, I was into when Oasis came on the scene, I was already into Manchester bands. I was into Happy Mondays and Stone Roads, yeah, and Charlatans and all. I was mad into that.
You were going around with a package jacket and all,
yeah,
throwing
the shapes. Hat and all the flares and everything. Yeah. Look a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, mates and all were into it as well. And then Oasis came along, and the first two albums, yeah, I was like, oh yeah, definitely, maybe, and what's it, Morning Glory, what's the story, Morning Glory, whatever it's fucking called, the second album with all the big hits on it. And then after that, I didn't get into them. Like, I kind of missed the tour for it, and all the, there's one or two songs,
yeah, so
in that later catalogue.
Like, for fuck's sake. Fucking hell, man.
You're asking me now, yeah?
Give me the biography of fucking Manchester bands.
Supersonic.
There you go.
That's simple.
Oh, only he's allowed to talk. Right. That's how this goes, is it?
Willow's going mad when someone talks. Oh, yeah, hang on. Do you know what I have to stop doing, Eric? I have to stop cutting across people. All right, nice one, Willow. Eric, get out of the fucking thing. I've something to say.
No, but come here. The question was, what's your favourite Oasis song?
I'm Calvin told us.
So what's yours?
I just told you. Sonic.
What's yours, Teddy?
I'll go Cigarettes and Alcohol.
I like that.
Right, no, that's not what you give up. What's your favourite?
Will that?
Stand By Me, I like.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, tune.
Love it.
Yeah.
But I like the theme tune from The Royal Family.
Half the World Away.
Yeah, what
that was our graduation song.
And I met him a few weeks ago. Yeah, man.
Tim Royal.
I met him. Walking through Paul Manic, me missus goes, there's your man bleeding.
Ricky Tomlinson
now of The Royal Family. He says, what? She goes, there he is there.
He was supposed to be on this podcast.
And what happened?
They reached out to us. We said, yeah, here's the date. Set that up. And they got back way too late. Your one rang me on a Monday. She was like, yeah, so we're going to have Ricky in tomorrow at like 4 o'clock for half an hour, if that's any use. I was like, that's less than 24 hours notice. Like, we said, yeah, weeks ago. And you're only getting back to me now. And she's like, oh, yeah, sorry. No.
Here's a beautiful segue. He was over because he was doing a show in Liberty Hall, wasn't he? He was doing a play.
He was, yeah. Yeah, he was doing a play.
The week he was on the Late Late Show was the time we were supposed to have him on the podcast.
Yeah. He was doing a play in Liberty Hall.
He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, he looks good for it.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's the original bleeding hipster, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He could have been living in Stony Batter bleeding 50 years ago with that beard. Going around with a dog and a rope.
What do you, a whippet? A whippet on a rope. They're mad into the whippets, ain't they?
Whippets and lodgers.
Yeah.
That's what the crusties love, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
Right, lads, you have his own podcast.
Yeah.
You must be joking. Yeah. Like,
couldn't tell, though.
Who was his dream guest on the podcast, boys?
It's not Snoop Dogg, anyways.
Yeah, we know that. We got it.
The Ireland team after he won the World Cup.
Yours probably is a footballer, is it?
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah,
I was thinking that.
And it's because he's been on other podcasts and he's brilliant and he's always been a hero of mine. So I got with Roy Keane. I love Roy Keane. I adored Roy Keane since I was, even though I think I'm the same age as him, or maybe a year older than him even. But I've adored Roy Keane and what he did at Man United and what he did with Ireland and all that controversy. See this film coming out now about Sleepman?
You didn't do a lot the weekend, did you?
What? Oh yeah, but we move on. I was all about Bowes beating Rovers anyway, so move on. Sure.
3-0, we bet them, bro.
Sorry, Calvin.
Oh,
so they didn't do a lot the weekend, did they? He's United as well, yeah.
I'm winning, Calvin. We got over it.
We got the lick like a stamp.
Didn't even slag them. So you don't need that.
No, here's what happened, Roy.
Oh, here we go.
Sunday morning, Roy. I'm in the gaff. Me missus is young with Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Staunch United, Roy. And there's always trouble on Derby. Or not Derby Day. United. Trouble on the United Liverpool. So I meet him in the hall in the gaff.
Meet him in the hall.
Story.
Awesome, boy.
Yeah.
Sorry about cutting across you, Will. I was in Specs the other day. Guess who I bumped into? Everybody.
Hey! Boom.
Hanging out with that too much.
That's what my mate said to me. You've contacts, haven't you? I said, no, they're actually glasses. Hey. Anyway, so I met him and he says, look, put his hand out. He goes, look, no trouble today. He says, look, it's, he says, over the match, he says, we leave like that. And I went, look, at the end of the day, I says, look, the best team wins. I says, if yous win, fair play. If we, no fucking way. He says, guys, it's gone. I says, right, well, all bets are off. I says, you're getting bleeding slaughtered. So when we were winning 2-0 at half time, we just sent him a message. Enjoying the match, pal.
And a
wink emoji. Yeah, so that was it. 3-0. But I mean, realistically, at heart, like, Roy Keane is a real family man.
Mm.
He's real family orientated, isn't he? And just likes the simple and things and likes just going out and walking the dog and doesn't want any hassle, doesn't want any contract. The dog died there a few weeks ago, didn't he?
Sorry, Roy.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, he's a real family man. Yeah. He just doesn't want any hassle, any controversy or not like that. Just likes to be kind of left alone. Huh. And a great football pundit as well.
He's box office, isn't he?
He is.
Like he doesn't have to say an awful lot, but what he says has a massive impact.
He knows what his role is, doesn't he? Like, he doesn't analyse a game. He just comes in and says, he was shy.
But as well, he plays up to it.
Yes. Yeah.
So, when the cameras are off, he's giving the boys a nudge.
He deserves an Oscar for the Euros, doesn't he?
Yeah, he leans
in. When England are winning all the time,
Yeah. But he knows the cameras are on, do you get me?
Yeah.
It's comedy gold.
You see him with Daniel Sturridge. Daniel Sturridge, oh, monkey.
Yeah.
Can you see Kane going? Fucking started with this.
Yeah.
There is a little bit. Storage must be what, nearly 40 now, mid-40s anyways.
Yeah.
Body popping and all this.
Yeah, and he's saying mad shit and all. I don't watch any of the pundits on the analysis. It's a waste of time when you think about it, because it's just Carragher and Neville arguing.
Yeah.
And then Roy Keane was telling somebody that they're shite and they want to have a hard look at themselves.
Yeah.
And then I think that's just there.
And then Storage saying something stupid, Micah Richards saying something, and then laughing. Tell me, what's the team? Yeah, grand. I'll switch back on at 3 o'clock or whatever. You know what I mean?
I love the analysis anyway.
Yeah.
Love it. I think that's just like a very, I don't know, vague view of it.
But listen to me. That's copy and paste every week.
They don't give an
in-depth analysis of like, oh, he's overlapping here and he needs to pull in here. Look at the space that's being left. It's just like, oh, you need to do better and we need to do this and we need to... Right, tell us actually what they need to do better. They need to do better. All right, Grant, what do they need to do better?
Of course, that's the job, man. I think at the end of
every match, there should be a gold, silver and bronze of what each player's stats were. How they play it.
Yeah.
Well, there is point like, to that as well.
Excellent, good, or shy.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like,
in them words. Yeah.
During the season, if you get 10 shites out of that analysis, you should be brought out on the pitch and bleeding kicked up.
Will I wait?
That'd make it more interesting.
Will I wait? Revolutionising football.
Come on, listen, you'd want to look your game then, wouldn't you? It'd be like penalty points. You'd be going, how many bronzes have you got? I've 7 at the
minute. Oh, no.
I want to up your game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like the Hunger Games for football.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? We volunteer this tribute.
Will I? Me and Calvin have the same story of yours that we think is our favourite, and you're a book full of blame stories of your whole life, and you've told some brilliant ones on the podcast over the last few years, but the favourite one of ours is the story involves
your father, yourself and a home intruder. Do you want to tell us that one?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Right, so I was going through a rough time in my life at one stage, and I was in psychiatric care down in Vincent's on the Richmond Road. This was the last time I was in a psychiatric hospital, right? So it was third time lucky, right? So I said I'd finish up the bleeding stint on the north side. So I'm in Vincent's on the Richmond Road and it's chaos. I'm not bleeding well whatsoever. And I remember we'd Halloween down there. They called it the Nutcrackers Ball, right? And they come around to the wards and they asked us all, look.
Psychiatric unit?
Yeah, honest to God, right?
The Nutcrackers Ball?
Yeah, that's what it was called. So they came into the wards and they asked us all what we want to dress up as.
Right.
This is leading into the story, right? Because I hadn't been out on weekends. I was an inpatient like all the time. So I asked to dress up as Jack Nicholson, the Joker at the time, right?
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
No, I didn't, but they asked me to dress up as the thing. So I got the outfit, the Joker, because that was out at the Batman was out at the time. And there was another fella down there and he was do you remember Time Bars?
Yeah.
So he was one of the Caffreys, right? And he was complete. Look, we were all, there's no point in categorising saying this fella, like bronze, silver, gold. of lunatics. We were all mad. Like one night my dad came up and I was walking down the corridor with a statue of Our Lady on my shoulder. Like a big, huge, full-size statue. My dad goes, "Oh, Jesus." I said, "No, it's Our Lady." Right. So, yeah, that's what was going on in this place. It was madness, right? So,
you were carrying a statue of Our Lady on your shoulder.
Yeah,
this is a brutal hospital. It's getting worse.
So anyway, after a few weeks, I start getting a little bit better than myself. And they said, "Look, we're going to start giving you weekends out." So I was getting a couple of weekends out. My dad says to me before I get out, he says, "Is there anything that you want me to do before you get out of hospital?" Like, this was before I started getting the weekends out. And I said, "Look, will you do the gaff up? Will you get a bleeding, you know, give the place a lick of paint and do whatever?" And in fairness to me, dad, he went into the credit union, he got a few quid. And when I got out for the first weekend out, it was like bleeding. It was like a 24-hour SOS, right? The bleeding gaff was top of the range. And I was really, really happy. He got the whole lot done from top to bottom. Carpets, 15-panel doors. Remember the 15-panel doors?
I say you bought whole lot. Someone else's gaff.
Yeah.
Well, that was now over.
He's like, "Oh, dirty job, Dad."
So, two other blokes in my room and so I started getting out for a weekend. So I was on a bleeding lot of medication at the time. So this specific weekend that you were talking about, I get out for the weekend. So I get out on Friday. My dad doesn't drive at the time, so I'm on the bleeding bus and I'm bleeding. I'm like this going up in the bus and gets up to the gaff and I'm there. Friday night, it's a winter's night, and the tablets I was on, I was on different types of medication, but I was hallucinating a lot on them. And you were telling me in the hospital, "Don't worry, you're just hallucinating. It's only hallucinations." And it was only hallucinations. So I went to bed, right, and I don't know what time it was that I woke up at. But I woke up and I looked into the hall of the flat where me and my dad lives. And I see a silhouette of you. Yeah.
Okay.
I seen a silhouette of, it's a very posh word, isn't it, for me?
It's a silhouette.
Is it a silhouette?
Yeah.
Well, I nearly got it right. Okay, no,
just like how you're making up for a reason.
So are you looking for the fucking grammar please?
I said west. West.
So I seen, right here, I'll make it easier. I seen two figures. But they're in the tent.
Two shadows.
Right, so I seen two figures in the hall, like wrestling with each other and heard the door, my bedroom door banging, right? And I'm sitting in the bed like this, right, and saying to myself, and I could hear the nurse going, you'd be hallucinating. And I was going, I must be fucking hallucinating. I just put the quilt back up and put it back down, right? So I don't know after how long it was, probably a minute, 5 minutes, all I hear is, "Willie, help me, right?" So I wakes up again and it's like a bleeding cartoon. They're going up and down the hall. So I said, "I better get up," right? So I get up and I open the door. And I looked in the hall, right, and the Jack's light is on in the hall, and my dad is fighting a bloke. A man has a mask wrapped around him, right, a scarf, right, and he has a knife, and there's blood all coming out of my dad's leg. And my dad's hand, right, and he's gone. Dad's gone, "I'm standing there like this, right, I still think I'm hallucinating." And my dad's gone, "Fucking help me, right?" So I goes, right, so I starts getting stuck into your man. So me and my dad have the better of your man now, right? I'm knocking the bollocks out in the gap, right? The knife is down the whole lot. So I pulls a scarf off your man's face. And I goes, "What the fuck is going on?" So we're strangling. My dad is panting, right? We're punching the head off. And I says to my dad, "Fuck him over the balcony. Let's throw him over the balcony." My dad goes, "Yeah, open the door, right?" So I get your man, right?
You just read it's a great idea.
Yeah. Right, and he's after stabbing me dad twice, like, right? So we get him outside, right? And threw him off the balcony. Now we were only living on the fourth floor, lucky enough for him, right?
Thank fuck for him.
So your man hit the bleeding ground with a toad and off he goes. So he comes in and me dad's there like that, right? He's bleeding, shaking, right? And he says, "Tell me, all right, he goes, "Oh," he says, "what the fuck happened there?" He says, "I don't know." He said, "I just heard a knock on the door." Now, what happened, I found out in a few weeks' time, he was meant to be in the gaff up above. A fella owed him a load of money for drugs, right? Wow. So he knocked on the wrong door. So me dad's there, right, and he's having a smoke, right? He's standing there in his jocks, right? And the blood is on. And I'm going, "Dad, what am I going to..." He goes, no, just relax. So he wraps his hand in a bleeding tea towel and that. So the next morning, I get up, me dad goes to me, you go down to your sister's. I'm going into Delaney's in Smithfield for a pint, right? And I said to him, are you okay? Do you need something? He goes, no, I'm grand. So he had a bandage and put the bandage on his thing and his leg was kind of all right. He went in and had a bath. So I went down to my sister's, right? So I knocks down to my sister's door and I says to my sister, I says, you're not going to believe what happened last night in the gaff. And my sister goes, because there's no phones at the time, there's no mobile phones. So my sister's going, yeah, what happened, right? So I'm going, I've laid and woke up, there's a bloke with a knife. He says to me dad's killing your man. And my sister's looking at me and going, now you know what they said down in the hospital, that if you start any of this carry on at all, we were to bring you straight back down, right? And I said, Susan, I swear to God, I'm not lying. I says, your man had a knife. I says, and we threw him over the balcony. And my sister goes, that's it, right?
I've heard enough.
So bleeding, she gets a taxi, right? Packs a bag, right? Puts me pyjamas on. And I'm going, no, I swear to God, I swear. So bleeding goes back down to the hospital, right? And I'm sitting in the fucking bed, right? And I'm going, sit. And your woman's going, no, he's all right. Your woman gives me more medication, right? I'm sitting in the bed. So my sister goes home, right, to the gaff. That night, about 9 o'clock, my dad comes down to my sister's looking for a sandwich, has a few drinks on him. Says to my sister, looks at me, says, my sister's looking at me, he's a bandage around his hat. Sister goes, what happened? He says, got bleeding stopped last night in the gaff. Says, only for bleeding. For Willie, he said, I think it would have been more than the gaff. my dad goes, my sister, where's Willie? My sister looks at him and goes, what, they're bringing him back to the hospital? He said, I come over here this morning, I thought he was telling me bleeding lawyers. About 10 o'clock that night, I'm sitting in the bleeding bed in the hospital, me dad, my sister walks in, goes, right, get your clothes, back up to the bleeding.
Now would you believe me?
I swear to God, man, I'm bleeding right.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go. Fucking mad. Yeah.
A good thing. Yeah. Help.
Vincent's on the Richmond Road. Come here. Another story, I went down one time, right? I wasn't in there at the time. A good few years ago, a mate of mine was down there and I met a fella on the Richmond Road one morning. So he says to me, mate, I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going up to visit such and such up in Vincent's. He says, come on up. So it was me, him and another fella from the air. Three of us goes up. So we drove up in the car. So he went in and the nurse says to me, mate, he won't get out of bed. He's in, it was Christmas Day, Christmas morning. But going into me, mate, we're going, look, would you not just get up? It's Christmas bleeding day, like, get up, get your bleeding self dressed and bleeding. You know, we'll have a cup of coffee and a cup of tea. No, I'm not getting up. You had the quilt up to here like that. So after about 15 minutes, he goes, right, I'm getting up. And he pulled the quilt across and he had a suit on him with a short and tie. He was fully dressed underneath the bleeding duvet.
Underneath the cowlick.
Just put up there with the bed and goes, right, stick the kettle on. Oh, stop.
Oh, stop. Just a little more. Right, lads, the podcast, yous are flying with it. How are yous finding it?
Loving it, aren't we, Will?
Yeah, really, yeah, enjoying, yeah, it, yeah.
We did our first live one down at the picnic.
Yeah.
And we had,
yeah,
a great surprise. Because we, remember we were standing outside, Blind Boy and Dermot Whelan were on before us. And we, yeah, were on last and we were thinking, jeez. And the fucking tent was packed for them. We were like, jeez, I hope someone comes up. And there's a half an hour, as you boys know, there's half an hour turnaround before the podcast. So me and Will are standing there going, jeez, I hope people turn up. And I went, well, my young fella Alex and his six mates be here, so that's 7.
Yeah.
And Will,
yeah,
went, well, even though three or four comes, that's 11.
Yeah.
And then, but then by the time, 5 minutes before showtime,
yeah, it was a good, it was a good, yeah, it was a good, yeah, few there, yeah, yeah, it was the enjoyable. The guest was good.
Maisie Adam.
Yeah.
Maisie Adam, yeah.
But the podcast itself, it's great that I spend the most valuable hour and a half of Willa's week talking to him on our podcast.
Yeah.
It's precious time with a friend.
Of course it is, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
We love doing that.
And it's mad because I was doing a play down there as well.
Yeah.
So I was doing, like, I'd done two performances in a play.
In a garage.
On the Saturday. So I was saying to Eric, I said, could you imagine people that are on, because it's, look, come here, it's drugs at a festival, everybody knows that. But I'm saying, could you imagine someone on Asse walking into the theatre and looking at me dressed as a bleeding gorilla with a gorilla suit on singing a song? Looking at the mate going,
you see that?
Can you actually see that? Do you know what I mean? I'll tell you it was crazy, but it was great. Come here, it was doable and it was done. I enjoyed the festival, hung out with you,
yeah,
and your mates.
Yeah, you were down there, yeah.
As I do when I'm down there.
Yeah, that's regular occurrence now, isn't it?
No, I'm just bleeding. I've just adopted myself as being there, mate. Like, Your highlight of the festival, Calvin?
Oh, Hannah Lang on the Sunday.
I heard she was
brilliant. Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. You want to see this. It's in that tent. It's called Terminus. So you know where we seen Belt was only last
year? The buses still be.
That's what I thought. But you know that tent where Belt was only was? It's all open.
So yeah.
This tent only has like certain entrances. And in between the two entrances, it's obviously closed off and they have barriers. So we went in behind one of the barriers and my mate had a bleeding aluminous jacket on, didn't he? And he was like, sorry, you can't come in here, VIP. And we're all standing in there, you know what I mean? And people were believing it. So when the night was going on, we stood up on the barrier and looked over at the other sections that were cornered off and other people were in there doing the same. You know, telling people to go away, you can't come in now.
VIP.
So we were in there and everyone was bleeding all on top of each other. It was fucking deadly though.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
the highlight for me was, I said this, Ray, on the main stage just before
Cork Hoyley, yeah.
I never seen him before, but my mate was going, Eric, when you check this one out, and I used to love Amy Winehouse when she was around, and she has that London street vibe about her, and what a voice though,
yeah,
full of soul and blues and all that, and she had a full bleeding brass section playing around, and the Dublin Gospel Choir were our backing singers, and she just blew my mind, and I've just been listening to her stuff now since then.
Yeah, that's what I love about
music festivals. You just get stuff that you wouldn't really,
and then you're hooked on them. You'll probably go and see them then if they play.
Yeah, 100%. And I went to see Teddy Swims. Is that his name? Teddy Swims.
Yeah,
the fella with the tattoos all over.
Seeing him, a Forbidden Fruit member.
He also cycles as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was him. Yeah,
no. It's legal. He also cycles as well.
The man thinks that song "I Lose Control."
Yeah.
You know, I lose.
Didn't see him, no.
You've seen the DJ.
When you
that party can't swim.
That's
Jimmy. I'm pretty confused.
That's Jimmy Armbands.
Yeah, that's him.
Darren said, yeah, Barry can't swim and he can't DJ.
You didn't go down, Terrence.
No, I didn't go. I'm not into it.
That's all right. Some people aren't.
It's absolutely miles away. It's
an hour away.
No, but getting in and out and all.
You're right.
It's an hour away and then it's fucking 4 hours getting in. Yeah.
I've never stayed in the place before and I stayed in a tent and I'd never stay in it again.
Yeah.
My first time, I stayed in a tent the first time I went down. And then ever since then, we've gone in camper vans and I'll never go back to the tent again. Never go in a tent again.
Unless you're glamping or something.
When you're in the camper van, it's like going back to your gaff.
Yeah.
Honestly, my brother just now puts a sheet and a duvet on the bed and you're getting in and fucking.
I tell you, I'd love to go on a camper van. So if there is any camper van companies listening out there, hit us up for next year. Because, come here, we will plug yous and tell yous how great
the company is,
even though you're charging $4,000 for a weekend for a camper van.
Yeah.
You won't mention that.
Yeah.
From midnight Saturday night to midnight Sunday night, I walked 48,000 steps, which is like 20 miles.
Yeah, that's some going 20 that.
Miles when you're enjoying yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you don't notice you're doing it. But you do after a while, like you're going back to the campsite, you're walking back into the bleeding arena and back into the campsite.
Yeah.
And like,
back into the arena.
And then putting up a tent. Like, you can only do it in stages because the tent comes in, you know, fucking different bags.
Yeah.
And you're walking miles to the car park, into the site, back to the car park, back to the site, and then you're taking a can or two. Huh?
Wasn't the clip deadly the Monday when all the music was on, the tents were just blown all over the
place? Yeah.
Look, I think there should be a charge if you leave your tent there.
Yeah. They used to give them to the scouts.
Yeah.
The scouts used to come in on the Monday, and any tents that were in decent shape, the scouts used to take them. I don't know if they're still doing it now, but they used to do it, yeah.
No, I think there is a recycling. There is an element of recycling with them, for sure.
Did you see the Wolf Tones?
No, I went to see Teddy Swims.
At the same time?
They were on. Yeah, they were on. So the Wolf Tones were on at the same time as Teddy Swims. It was mad because the Wolf Tones obviously got them.
There was about a million people there.
Oh, yeah, I know. And there's only 80,000 at the festival.
Yeah.
But, like, it's mad to see young people in Celtic jerseys and Ireland jerseys.
Yeah.
There's a girl standing there beside me with IRA written on her forehead.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit.
We were in the stand.
She was dyslexic.
Oh, right.
We were in, you know, the seats at the main stage. At the back, there's a little stand.
Yeah.
And we got in there early, and we were holding seats. We were like, all your mates are coming, and I'm holding two here, and my mate's holding four of them. We're arguing with people. No, this road was full. Like, on the toilet, we'd be back in a minute and all. But all our friends couldn't get in then because it was too many people. So it's me and my mate sitting in a whole empty row together, right?
Like,
and behind us, there was about five or six, and you were about 9 or 10, yeah? And my mate was nudging me like, fucking kids there behind us taking seats, they're probably playing Roblox or something, yeah? With that, they knew every single word of every single song that came on. And I was like, you were there thinking they're playing Roblox. I looked up the lyrics.
Jerry Adams' grandkids.
Yeah. If you want to see it, I always stood up on the stand, right? I couldn't see, all you could see was people. And then I looked beyond the stand, which is all the field and in from the campsite, and there's still people there. I was like, you can't even see the stage, but you are still here because you can get the sound.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many people.
And there's Calvin riding up to the Wolf Tones. It's not sold now.
Yeah. He brought Kelly Harrington and all of.
What was your man, the comedian that used to book Kilkenny, Eddie, what was his name?
Bannon.
Eddie Bannon, right? He's a great little story. He was doing a gig up in Derry a few years ago, like when, the height of the Troubles and all that, and Gerry Adams, Martin, what's his name?
McGuinness.
They were all in the front row, and Eddie's from Kilock, you know, and he walks on stage and he goes, yeah, it's great to be here in Derry, and of course the boys are here, is Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams, of course, or as we like to call him down south, London Gerry. It's just the whole place just went. But in fairness, he broke his bollocks laughing. He broke his
balls on him.
You know that,
mate? I tell you, I done a gig up in Faila on Football Festival about
on the Falls Road
8 years ago, right? So I got booked to do it, and the headliner was a comic called Mark Steele. Really good comedian, brilliant. And the host on the show that night was a fella called Tim McGarry. He used to be in a programme called Give My Head Piece.
Oh, no.
Really good comedian. Yeah. So myself and John Killeary were on doing double support for Mark Steele. And it's a great festival, but it's a proper Republican festival. And come here, the acts that have been on. I was up there 1 year supporting Jason Manford, like, so they have huge acts on. So we goes up, we're on the festival. Oh, you go, John went on, or I went on, the two of us went on. Dun Grant had a great bit of crack. And then Tim McGarry goes on before Mark Steele goes on. So Tim McGarry's on and he's taunting. I told you this story, didn't I? So he's on there and he's taunting. He's going, the thing and the trouble up the north and, you know, the British soldiers and, you know, the trouble of Britain. It's comedy, like, but he's talking about the British soldiers and the troubles and the whole lot. And he goes, speaking of British soldiers, this next act is British. And just please put your hands together for Mark Steele. And I swear to God, he just walked on the stone soil and tree. And I swear to God, I looked at John Killeary and I says to John Killeary, they're going to lynch this fella. This fella's getting lynched, right? So he was meant to do like 40 minutes, 50 minutes. After about 15 minutes, he just got off the stage. I swear to God, they had to get a taxi to get him out of there. To get him off.
And the fella is
a decent, he's not anyway, you know, political with any of his stuff. He's actually a really good comic. Yeah. But the minute he went, Tim didn't, he was being mischievous, but really backfired. Yeah,
yeah.
And come here, he had to get out of there fastly.
Yeah,
I know he felt so because a lot of the lads that are in there are like ex-Republican prisoners.
So
he had to get out of there sharp as shit.
Arctic, you performed down in EP, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I did the comedy tent on the Sunday, and it was the first act on. So So well, Carl is MCing, Carl Spain's the MC, and Jerry Mans goes, okay, Arctic, For Pletcher, for doing the comedy, so I'm going to put you on first now because you're one of our most reliable players, one of our most reliable squad players. Yeah. Always do a job for me. It's going, all right, Jerry, nice one. And I went out. And before I went out, we had a great night the night before. I ticked the box. I went raving with my son in the forest in the woods. Had a great time. And then got about 3 hours sleep, I say. Walked about 20 miles before the gig. Got to the gig and saturated in sweat. And I had a lovely shirt on, saturated in sweat. And Cass Spain was on the stage. He's about to introduce me on stage, you know. And he's looking at me going, yeah. And then my stomach just went hard, really, all of a sudden. Not me, Willie. My stomach went hard. And I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? And I just started projectile vomiting. Side stage. Yeah. I didn't tell you this. And Cass Spain's like this, looking at me like this, guy, what the fuck am I supposed to bring you on? And then Jerry comes up, Jesus Christ, Eric, what the fuck's going on? Is everything all right? And I was going, I'll be with you now, Jerry. Will I get someone else on? I was like, no, Jerry, I'll do it. And I walked on and delivered a professional performance that had at least 16 people laughing.
Brilliant. Jerry Mallon. So Jerry Mallon is a legend of the comedy world. He used to do a club down in Cuba, in Galway. The name of the club was called Cuba, and it was in Galway.
Yes.
Everyone does
Cuba called Galway.
Everyone does an impression of Jerry Mallon.
Jerry Mallon here.
And he used to do this joke, and he used to go, the other morning I was sitting in the house and I was watching the sun coming up. And to be honest with you, it was the first time I'd ever given him ecstasy tablets.
He used to come up with some zingers like that. We were telling you earlier on, Tommy Tiernan came out to the Ballymun to do our comedy club, the House of Fun comedy club, and he brought Jerry as a support act, and Jerry took the roof off the place, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing.
But come here, the funniest story I heard about, man, I was only told a few weeks ago by Fred Cook. So Fred Cook was only at the start to do comedy, and he went down to Cuba. So we used to go down to do open spots. You know, and he put you on for... Now, in fairness to Jerry, he'd always give you a few quid,
yeah,
wouldn't he?
Yeah.
If you went down.
At your expenses, anyway.
Yeah, so Fred Cook went down, and he was on to do 10 minutes, say, or whatever. And Jerry says to him, yeah, how you doing, Fred? Listen, I'm going to go out, yeah, I'm going to do about 10, 15 minutes max, and then I'm going to introduce yourself and bring you on, and you do your thing, and yeah, you know how it goes, don't you? And Fred goes, yeah. But unbeknownst to Jerry, there was about 15 people with special needs in the front row, right? So he goes out, and when Jerry went out, one fella was screaming, I want me dinner, right? That's all he could hear, right? And he's gone. And he said, Jerry just went down the stage and goes, oh, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Fred Cook. And just fell him straight on, didn't turn his own.
Because he bottled it. He fucking bottled it. And Fred walked on his new comic going, how the fuck am I going
to do it? And the chap, God love him, was still screaming, I want me dinner. Fred said he got off the stage, he was starving, he went straight down to Supermax. Well, yeah, that's the Jerry Mallins. But Jerry is a great comedian, great fella.
A comedic icon.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to pop it into my head. Sorry, Jerry.
Go.
Your mate Robbie put me in an EP after your show, and he goes, come on, I have to say it to you. He goes, and listen to the podcast from the start, he says, well, my first time meeting you, you're fucking huge. I remember I was nudging Amy. I'm like, hear what you're saying?
Robbie's a great fella.
Yeah, Robbie, yeah.
He's a great fella.
Huge.
He's right up there in Calvin's Bilks.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it to me board. I was like, yeah, that's how I'm at the remembering. I was like, that's Will as mate Robbie. Yeah. Write that down.
Follow him on Instagram.
Yeah. Me and him go way back. We go back a good few years. He's just a great fella.
He really is. And he came down to some of our first picnics all them years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, there was. Come here, you see loads of bleeding shapers down there, don't you?
Yeah. Blast from the past.
Lads, how long do you know each other?
Since
we started doing comedy, yeah.
So Joy in the Hood is when we first time we met each other.
That was Des Bishop's
show. Yeah, that was like over 20 years ago though.
No, it wasn't, no.
18 years ago.
Only since we started doing comedy. It's where it was 6 months
ago. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like, that's like, we're old. We're old, man. We're old. Like, we're really old. We're old. We're so old.
Yourself, I'm only a fucking young fella.
Well, I'm trapped in an old man's. But no, it's we. No, yeah, 2006.
You're older than Roy Keane. That's how old you are.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I'm not.
2006, we met. And we didn't know each other.
Older than Ronaldo.
And the show was being built around him, really, to be honest, wasn't it? And I can't.
The whole show was meant to be about me.
Yeah, I know. And then they went, that's shy.
Yeah. That's true, is it?
No, but he just says we'll open it up to other people and
make a show.
I got in on a technicality because I'm from Finglas, not really from Ballymun, but I got in and that's how we met. And I was in Las Vegas because I had a good job. I was working for IBM. I had a good job, you know. And Willa and all the boys had already formed a little bond in the workshop with Des, and they were going, "Who's this prick coming in from Vegas?"
Yeah.
And it was me, like, you know. And that show's still on YouTube. If you want to watch,
I've only seen clips of it there a couple of months ago.
When you look at it, because like, I walk into the room after coming back from Vegas, big jet lagged head me, and Des go, "Hey, Eric's only new to the group. Let's all give him a big hug and make him feel welcome." And the whole lot of them come in and hug me. And
Eric was like, get away me.
Yeah.
When this camera come back, then Eric's watch was gone as well.
Yeah.
Standing there in his own.
But it changed everything then, didn't it? Like, I mean, then me and Willie just got very close. Like, we did all the early gigs when we were doing open spots around the country. Me and Willa.
We used to travel together, yeah.
All the time driving around the country, and we formed a good bond. And I suppose people saw that eventually and said, no use, who could do? Well, fuck up. No. podcast. So it's great to be all these years out still having that connection with Will.
Yeah.
Been through it all.
Yeah, we have, yeah, yeah. I mean, come here, it's mad because Eric's kids were only kids.
Little kids.
When we started hanging around.
And now they're right in the forest.
Yeah. They're men now, do you know what I mean? So it's obviously bleeding with the years go on.
It's things change. Behavior to me, at least. I mean, I remember Ava walking around my gap. She could barely walk. Mm. Have that big smile.
She had to drink a bottle of whiskey, though.
Then I go see her at the Gaiety. She's all dolled up.
She's 17 tomorrow.
Oh, woman, fucking. Ah, she's amazing.
17 tomorrow.
She's got a great smile.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so happy birthday.
Yeah. Big shout out to Ava.
Yeah.
You want to see when these came in earlier, Dad and Conway's at the finish and doing the podcast. Oh, I was fucking gas, wasn't it? The poor humble head was wrecked. He kept that one. Anything. How do you do this?
Yeah. Will I, especially.
Yeah.
What's been your favourite episode of the podcast so far that you've done?
Oh, yours.
Yeah. No, come here.
Don't be flirting with that.
Hang on a second now. What about thinking about your jokes?
I think.
Let the rooster back you.
Well, it was always going to be a challenge having four in the room at the same time.
You'll be a fucking hell.
And like, even your own shooter couldn't deal with us.
Especially if you get the mics to work.
Yeah, that's a poor challenge. Yeah.
That was it. Now we enjoyed that one because like we were thinking it was going to be a bit of a challenge, but it worked out.
Yeah.
And it was probably our biggest episode because of you, because he's such stars.
Do you just go back through the episode?
No, we
have it. Worked well and what didn't.
Yeah, we have.
What didn't we have a meeting about that? Yeah.
Next week, where they're crunching the numbers and going, this worked, that worked, that didn't work. We're going to dump Willa. It's like Katrina O'Sullivan was great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it wasn't just comedy. It was a bit of comedy, but it was a lot of heart in it as well. And people were saying they liked how we handled it because it's, you know, the way you used to do it. Like
I think it's good when we have people in, like, personally, when they're not comedians.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know the podcast is called You Must Be Joking, but that doesn't mean that there's going to be a comedian every week.
Yeah.
And I loved it when yous were in because, come here, it's just four lads.
Yeah.
Just like this. And they're not having funny. A bit of crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? And we had, like, yous had Nicola Tallant on. We had Nicola Tallant in as well. We just said to Nicola, look, this is just, we're just having a chat, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that was it. And then we'd, you know,
PJ had great.
PJ was great as well, and
boys.
You know, and Katrina, as you said as well, was amazing, and yeah, I think the ordinary, because I think what you got to realise as well is that ordinary people sometimes that you don't know have got just as good a story as people that are established or people that are kind of in the social kind of bleeding
100%
limelight. You know,
I think, but when you're starting out a podcast, as what we're learning is that. At the start, yous have a reputation now. Yous are established. So I think people are going to listen to your podcast regardless of who's on. Whereas with me and Will at the moment, we have to kind of almost get someone that we know is going to do well or think is going to do well. So that's, we're in a slightly different position to you boys at the moment, but hopefully we'll get there.
No, but I don't agree with that, Eric. I think if an episode is good, it'll do big numbers regardless who you have on. We always say, my Ma's episode is still one of the biggest episodes that we've done. We've done that in the early days of the podcast, and that to this day is still one of our biggest episodes. So I think it's like, regardless of who the guest is, if it's a good episode and people enjoy it, it's just going to keep going around and people will keep listening.
Yeah. Well,
but we love doing it. We love having the crack.
We do love doing it. People that know me, I love talking.
I know, yeah.
It's handy for you, though, boys. Like, how long you know each other, and then you are obviously in comedy series. I'm doing live shows, and like, God knows how many years.
Well, this is it, see, and like, I'm lucky enough, myself and Willie are lucky enough, because we're in the business that we can reach out to people that maybe other people wouldn't be able to get.
You know,
we have access to them, and we've got some guests lined up now that we were able to contact that people who are booking the show couldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're like, wow, brilliant, nice one, fair play to you. You know what I mean?
So you think every comedian we've had on is probably down to you, will I?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Off the top of my head, the only one I know, Adam Rowe, but he's from Liverpool, he reached out to us.
Yeah.
But other than that, yourself included, Eric, I think everyone else just, will I pass that number on?
Yeah, but that's what you do, like,
I know, Jumla comes up on WhatsApp and it's a number, it's not a name, like, Will I White's connected to this, watch, click in, John Cleary. Got your number off, Willie.
John's great.
John's a legend.
And his new show, Head Like a Shed, just to give him a plug.
Yeah. Head Like a Shed tour.
Did you see the story that he told us on the podcast about Bleeding Kulak?
Do you know, the Nardy, when you had to do it in the Kulak.
Yeah.
Really?
He was getting the lads out.
I was falling around laughing. And you know what? I was holding laugh in, and you wouldn't fucking tell. Like, I was trying to hold that in as much as I could.
He's so, do you know what? He doesn't actually realise how funny that he is.
Yeah.
I think he's slowly realising it now.
He's so funny. He's got so much material. Like, he's more bleeding material than bleeding hickeys and bleeding town. Do you know what I mean? He's loads of it, like, hasn't he?
Going back to Will Ass Sayings.
I love how he knows. He has a reference for everything. No matter what you're talking about, he knows a reference.
And what was your one again, please? Roller skating.
It was on the beach. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't be a roller skater in the sand if you're a space hopper on the beach. Some shit like that. Because he just told you about the dolphin dying or something.
More material than Hickey's in town. Like, yeah. I know where Hickey's is or what it is. They sell fucking fabric.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember you telling me about someone, you were like, they have more issues than Vogue. And I was like, how did they even get that? How did they even come up with that? Like, you know what I mean?
I know, Willard wants you to listen to him, he tells you. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell him something. Listen to me. And then the wisdom comes.
Yeah. You know what I've just realised lately as well of late? That when people say to you, right, I don't mean to be smarter than you.
Yeah.
They might as well turn around and say to you, listen, I'm going to be smart here, yeah? And this is what the story is. But people that go, listen, I don't mean to be smart.
Yeah.
That's saying, I'm now going to be smart waiting you here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I'm not going to be smart, but I don't like your top. Like,
yeah.
No, you are being smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Something like that, yeah. Oh. Eric.
Yeah.
Mr. Lala by nature.
Yes.
Do you like that? Nice little segue, isn't it?
Very nice. I like the way he just kind of...
I was trying to segue in earlier on. He didn't even notice. Because we were talking about Ricky Tomlinson.
I love the sandwiches out of there. He was... That's Subway.
Yes. He was doing the show in Liberty Hall Theatre.
Yeah.
And he's all just blanking me up, Dan. Yeah. I was like, oh, look,
leave us. Yeah, so are we.
Yeah, I'm getting it now.
Yeah,
it was like the penny went like that.
Yeah. He's probably going, yes, he's ignorant. Which one out there were going to give me a dig?
Come on, the plug is here. We're here talking about Oasis, Mickey Thomas.
Everyone else is getting it.
Plug in John Kilary's new show. Thanks for coming on, lads. See you next week.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah, so it's September 19th in Liberty Hall Theatre. Tickets are selling all right, not great.
Selling tickets.
They're selling tickets. No, they're a good few sold. I'm delighted with it, but obviously, it'd be a dream to get nearly a
Friday night
if I could. It's a Thursday night,
Thursday night,
which isn't the May West, but it's not worse. It could be worse. It could be Tuesday night or a Monday night, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, Thursday night, a lot of people's weekend starts on a Thursday night, you know what I mean?
So
it's me, and I have a support act called Brian Gallagher, who's
brilliant, very funny fella.
So I'm going to do an hour, Lala by Nature, and I suppose a lot of people would have seen me with Will at the Gaiety that time.
Yeah.
And I was telling people at the gig, I have a show coming up in Liberty Hall, and I've only sold 6 tickets. And then there's a few voices going, 7. Yeah. Like, oh, brilliant. So I hope them
they're all like,
kids.
Come here, Ticketmaster, I imagine.
Ticketmaster.ie, no waiting rooms, no queues.
Yeah. They let you
come here. Just to say to anybody, I would highly recommend go see the show. Not only that he's a friend of mine, but he's also really, really fucking funny. He's one of our own. Get up off your arse, it's a Thursday night, pretend it's a Friday, fuck woke,
yeah,
and go out and see him. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah. Thanks very much, lads.
Where did you get the name? Do you know why people always have like a little pun for that horse?
Yeah.
Where did that name come from?
Well, who do you think it came from?
You.
No, it came from the man sitting beside me here.
Him?
Yeah, yeah. Because Will, I was after doing his 2 Liberty Halls, and MCD then came to me and says, well, you know, Will, I can say you can do as well. And I was going, all right, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, but the name of the tour I'm in, the Lala by Nature.
I got me.
Oh, you did? Yeah, sorry.
So we were saying, like, Will, I was going, come on, just do it, like, you know, because this is my biggest solo show ever. It's 400 plus or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I've done solo shows before, but in the Sugar Club,
yeah,
in the Axis, Drioch, smaller venues. So I says, right, I'll take a leap of faith. And I was going, geez, I'm going to have to call it something, because, you know, he had the white stuff.
Yeah.
Nice and clever, catchy and all that. And then Will, I was just sitting me going, Lala by Nature. I went, what? LOL.ER. .er, Lala by Nature. I went, I'm all over that, Willa.
Yeah.
I'm telling everyone I picked that up, except they're going on Talking Bollocks podcast, telling them
cut all that. Yeah, please.
I have the name for my next show. I just have to write it. And the name of the show is called Dead Man Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because realistically, I should have been dead before all my
second
family.
Second life, yeah.
And they're all gone before me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's just pulling on people's heartstrings.
Yeah.
One more thing to say that I really need to say. John Boland, who's a big friend of your show and a friend of ours as well, and a friend of our show, has a thing on it's a recovery swim kind of food get together, but it's also in the memory of an old friend of ours called Lorraine Giltrap. And Lorraine Giltrap worked in the services, in the addiction services, and unfortunately at a very young age lost her life to cancer. And we all know somebody who's lost their life to cancer. So it is in memory of Lorraine Giltrap. A partner will be there, John Foreman, who's a really good friend of mine, who's ran loads of marathons and done loads of things in her memory. Her kids will be there. But I mean, anybody that's lost someone to cancer or who's in recovery or just wants a good morning out that morning, the 22nd of September, come down to Port Marnock Shelters. We'll all be there. The crack will be 90 and we'll all have a bit of laugh, you know.
Fair play, yeah. Shout out to John Bowland as well. He's a fucking legend and I'm sure he'll be on the show one day as well.
He will, definitely.
He's always down there cooking fries.
Oh, it's getting cooked up on the 22nd. We're going live.
You're not like the business.
And you, this fry up will give Belters only a run for that money. We'll be mixing the sausages and the rashers and the white pudding. Get your hands on me.
Mix that grill, I says.
Mix it, I said. What's that? Hang on, what's coming in there? It's the Granby Burgers.
Yeah, yeah. If the podcast doesn't work out, lads, you should be on the radio.
I'm bleeding, starving.
All I can think of is field related puns.
Swear to God, I'm starving.
Yeah, so am I. Right, we got the Santa, baby.
Yeah, lads, keeping yourself out that bug, Eddie. Bleeding long.
Yeah, listen, lads, I'll get you shot, thanks Calvin, don't you for worry. Having us in.
Yeah,
Larry, do you want to take us out?
No, come here, listen, it's been an absolute, look, genuinely I mean it to the boaties, thanks very much for having us on, because I know you said, look, we'll get Eric on and we'll to plug me show, and he's done that, and I really appreciate that, boys. No problem.
So get us our tickets to we show, genuinely it's going to be class, we'll be there. So yeah, that's it, get your tickets.
And else you want to plug?
I've got a Christmas show on a Christmas.
Has to make it all about him.
Yeah, look at him. Come on, we bring Eric on and all the folk show.
It's called Willa's White Christmas. Yeah. And it's on in the Ambassador. And the dates are there. Have a look, Ambassador. Willa's White Christmas. And it's not that type of White Christmas. It's just Willa White and friends, special guests. And in the Christmas season, it's on in December.
Yeah, and it's in the Ambassador. It's only been renovated. Yeah.
It's only had to be renovated.
I understand.
Yeah, we done it up for you all.
Yeah, Will has had to put a few quid in.
Will has bigger than Taylor Swift.
Yeah, we painted it. That's why it's white. It's Will has white ambassador at Christmas.
Scaffold and all is still be up. Don't watch your head there. Yeah, Grant.
Yeah. Right. That's it.
Yeah, you can't drive down the street and Dublin without Will. I go, no, scaffold of that.
Oh, fuck's sake, Will.
It's not that you haven't scaffolded.
And just before we finish, lads, just a quick mention again to Flyfe, with 20 locations nationwide and from €35 per month. Get on to flyfe.ie to find your nearest gym and get your membership now.
Right, we done.
Yeah.
We all got home. Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by Flyfit. Smash your fitness goals guided by expert trainers at Flyfit. Visit flyfit.ie to sign up now. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Oh, you're waiting it now. Fill your body up in. Work it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down. Go down. Go down. Go down.